A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
What's good, internet? It is December 16th, 2016. I am Austin Walker, your host here at Waypoint Radio. Joining me, as always, Patrick Klepek, coming live from outside of Chicago.
6 degree weather.
Is it 6 degrees?
It's 17 nope. right now. Nope. It was a low of 3 yesterday, and then the wind chill is negative 15 on Sunday. So we're excited out here in the Midwest.
That's low. People who are watching us live on Twitch couldn't hear anything I just said.
Oh.
But people who listen on the podcast, they can hear it.
They can hear it.
It's a hot school.
Don't worry, I've got this. I'll carry the podcast for us.
That's great. Joining me also, Danica Herod.
Yeah.
Of Herod's Department Store. The thing I yes. think of whenever I need to remember how to pronounce your name.
I'm glad you remembered.
I did. I remember.
You didn't remember the date.
I did. December 16th. I didn't say that we were live from the Brick House. I didn't say that we were here coming to you from Brooklyn. Apparently there was a vice party at a bank yesterday.
We didn't go.
I was busy.
Oops.
I was busy. I was in Manhattan getting business done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. How you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, Danielle's on a plane right now, I think, on a little mini vacay. So
going away for holiday.
For time. Holiday, which I advocate. I advocate we all do that once we have the chance to do that, because we've been busting our asses, all of us.
Yes.
You won't do it.
I'm going to try.
I mean, same.
I'm like definitely looking forward.
Austin, you, like, if I made a growing list of all the things you're going to try,
yeah,
it'd be the longest document I've ever made.
It's true. I'm really looking forward to our time off and like out of office where I can't have meetings so I can catch up on email. Mm-hmm. That's like the number one thing I'm excited about
no,
the holiday.
No, it's terrible. That's
is that
the
I can
worst
get
possible
through
wish I've ever heard.
All of the emails.
Emails.
No.
What's that?
489 in my regular inbox, 345 at the gaming at.
Yikes.
A separate
that's
345.
A lot.
So that's good.
That'll take you all of Christmas.
Thank God.
Thanks, Santa.
Thanks for these emails. Thank you. It's been a long week. It's been a cold week. I think the winter is
cold.
Finally here, really.
I'm
really
not prepared.
You're not. You're from the Bay Area.
Yeah, I tweeted about it being 22 degrees and people were like, ha!
Yeah, this ain't nothing. It's going to get so much worse. Have you ever seen snow?
I've seen snow, but like
in person.
On the West Coast in Lake Tahoe, where it's like soft skiing snow, you know.
That's
I've
not
never
real snow. That's not real snow.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like until
fake
you're
snow.
Like upset because you have to go to work and it was like a huge snowstorm last night, but you still have to go in.
I feel
you're
like
in snow.
I feel like I won't feel that this year. I feel like I'm excited.
No, you're gonna feel it this year if it snows like that. Like,
you'll the first time it happens, you'll be excited. The second time it happens, you'll probably still be excited. It's that 10th time when that wind chill gets like negative 10 and you miss your bus.
And you can't find
and
your
you still
other
have
glove.
To wait out. It's not fun anymore.
It's not.
It ceases All right. to be fun.
We'll check back in with me in like a month.
I guess we're looking forward to the winter breaking you. Because
okay.
people who look forward to winter have not experienced winter before.
I mean, if right. summer almost broke me, but it didn't. So I have
right,
my hopes for winter.
Also, because you were from the Bay Area in California.
The Bay Area.
You basically don't have a summer.
There's no
either.
Weather.
There's just it's rainy sometimes, right?
Yeah, there's no weather.
Right. Okay, well, that's the check-in
that's
on the weather. Next up, sports. Patrick, what's going on in hoops these days? Hoops from Scoops.
The Bulls seem like they're doing okay. The Cavs are winning.
Yeah, they
Back
are.
Back to you.
Thanks. Hey, hi. Super Mario Run is out. Sports.
Yeah, speaking
that's
of sports.
It's a track. He's a track star.
Track and field.
Track and field is a sport mm-hmm. and a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And Super Mario runs it. Super Mario Run came out yesterday, finally.
So officially the biggest launch on the App Store of all time.
Wait, really? In terms of
yeah.
money, in terms of downloads?
Let's see. I've got this article up here. Downloads. It was downloaded 2.85 million times in its first day. Pokemon Go was downloaded at 900,000 to give
Whoa.
You a
person. Whoa.
Okay.
And it's currently the top grossing app, but that, you know, that's obviously it is because it's in the first 24 hours of
yeah,
its
sure.
release.
Also, it's, I mean, it's $10.
It is $10.
Yeah.
It is a premium
yeah, no, that
product.
Is, yeah, that is expensive for an App Store game.
Have you dug into it much, Patrick?
Yeah, I've probably played 2 or 3 hours of it so far.
That's like a substantial amount of a thing.
Yeah, so you can run, and I have not finished the first three levels. I guess is what I would say. If you just want to go through this game, you can do it in less than an hour. Like the actual game is not particularly difficult. There are maybe 15 stages, and the boss fights shouldn't even count as a stage because they're essentially perfunctory as opposed to
the fourth level in each thing.
Yeah, fourth level in each world. But the way they and I'm going to write about this after the podcast. I've made this argument with the last couple of Mario games, Mario 3D Land and Mario 3D World in particular. And this is also true of the new Super Mario Brothers games. Those games aren't particularly challenging, but if you're looking for the challenge, like if you're looking for Nintendo's equivalent of a difficulty level, it's finding the secrets that they hide in them. And what I mean by that is like collectibles are things that usually drive me up a wall. Like I find collectibles to be like trash filler that are put in worlds to buffer out things for you to do in them as opposed to them being actually meaningful. Like I often get upset that collectibles exist because it kind of scratches against people's collectionist tendencies and gets them to do things that isn't actually fun, but they feel a need to do.
Right.
Whereas the Nintendo, I have found, has always been very thoughtful about how they put their collectibles in their games. And in 3D Land and 3D World, the collectibles really allowed you to appreciate the level design and sort of the tricks they've put in there in a way that you don't if you just do the main path. And that is totally true of Super Mario Run, in which when you finish the stage, there are purple coins, there are
pink coins. It's pink, purple,
pink,
and
purple,
green.
And then green.
Yeah. And is there anything after green? Because I've only gotten to green.
No, there are just three levels of coins that you collect. And the first level, they're just hidden in, you know, or around the world. And then pink,
then purple, then green.
Purple, yeah. The purple are just remixed versions of that. They're hidden in like kind of like a little more out of the way place. And then the black ones, those actually remix the stages. So those will incorporate new geometry.
Okay, yeah, no, I've done those, yeah.
And those will actually manifestly change the stages in a way that forces you to play them differently in order to find all of the coins. And so they're hidden in really tricky places with really difficult jumps. And, you know, it's not just a matter of getting one or two of them. Like, you have to collect all five in
a
run.
Single run. You can't.
Yeah, yeah,
the thing I thought, like, that I was the lazy gamer in me, visit our website, lazygamer.vice.com, was like, oh, I hope I can just get them across multiple different runs. Like, I hope I can get these three and then the one where I have to drop and fall. And because sometimes you have to pretty rapidly change up kind of your angle of egress. Like,
yeah, you have to make sure you can like bounce backwards into a small
like,
area.
Oh, this one is like up three levels of platforms, and the next one is like in a pit that I have to jump, like fall down and then wall jump out of. And so I was hoping, I was like, oh, I can just get through it easy and just pick up these coins, like pick them up one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I was the same. I was like, I beat the first level a few times and I'm like, okay, this isn't working. And then when I realized I had to get them all in one run, I was just so frustrated. I just kept hitting retry. Every time I missed a coin, I was like, shit.
That's the actual problem with me. It's not a problem with the game. I think that what I've played of the game so far, I'm only three levels in, but I'm trying to get every coin before I move on to the next level.
So,
that's the problem is that like I am that weird perfectionist of like, if you give me a stage and let me know that I can get a higher rating on it or come back and get more. I want to like milk all of the stage. I don't want to milk all of the game goodness, milk out of the level stage. And you can't do that because you'll like go crazy. You'll like drive yourself up a wall because you're just like doing that same thing over and over and over again. It's the same
problem. Pro tip.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You can. The bubbles.
Yeah.
They are not just when you die.
Oh, you just pop them to go back and try it again.
So if you miss a coin, you can pop
the
bubble.
I didn't know that.
And you can go, and you're allowed to pop yourself out of the bubble at any time. It's basically a rewind function.
Right.
Now, granted, for especially the black coins are often predicated on like the level being set up on its initial run. So if you miss a jump that like relies on you hitting a turtle, you're not going to be able to get that black coin.
That turtle's
time. It
gone.
It doesn't reset the stage parameters.
Yeah.
Turtles don't come back.
Yeah, they don't.
You know,
come
that's
back.
We have to. We have to love our turtles while we got them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you guys messed with any of the other little nooks and crannies of the game, the rally.
I did a rally, yeah. And I did a couple of rallies and have recruited a bunch of toads to my cause. It's like a weird politics metaphor. Is that – because, like, it's like you go on a rally against somebody else.
Yeah.
And then take their toads.
You take their fans.
You don't actually take their toads. You gain fans and then you compete. So it's like a race. It's like a race between you and somebody else, asynchronous.
And it's based on, like, how many coins you get.
And how many fans you get. And you get
and
fans.
And your moves. And your moves.
By you being
do,
stylish, which is really
moves.
Cool. Because you – so obviously it's based on the Super Mario what is it? The new Super Mario, tile set and graphic system. So it includes a lot of the backflips and very, acrobatic stuff that Mario does while he jumps.
Lots of wall jumping, lots of twirling
in the air. And as you do that in the Toad rally mode, Toads are like, oh word, look at how cool Mario looks. I like that Mario better than that Mario. And then
they'll scream it at you.
They're like, tally up how many coins you get and how many Toads rooted for you because of how stylish you were. And then you get Toads that then you can install in the metagame map where you
I like the little Animal Crossing town.
That is very generous.
I know. But it's cute.
I wish it was Animal Crossing.
I'm buying plants, I'm buying a little fence.
Yeah, I like decorating.
Yeah, same.
It's nice.
Same.
Have you messed with any of that, Patrick?
Nope. Zero interest. We'll never touch it.
Patrick, how are we going to compete in Super Mario Run, the hottest new eSport, if you don't engage me in my Toad Rally?
I don't mind the Toad Rally. I mean the building stuff. Your base thing. I just couldn't – if I could delete it off the screen, I would.
Wow.
Well, I just don't have any interest in laying fences and plants. I want to find more coins.
You're dealing with your own home.
Right, you
us over here in New York, we're like, we don't have anything to work with.
Dream of the notion of green space.
I got my own fence in my backyard that has problems. I don't need digital fences.
Yep.
Digitalfences.vice.com also. you can visit us there. Thanks, Chief Keef.
But yeah, I think it's a genuinely great game. I think it bodes well for Nintendo and adapting their different characters and franchises for mobile, because it's a very non-cynical way to make a game this. Like, it takes the trappings of mobile, but does it, it's free, but it's not free to play, right? Like, there's a world where you can imagine this game, you got to keep running these levels till you can earn enough coins to buy the next one, and you can't actually buy them, or you can buy a coin multiplier,
right,
so you can get up to the next. Hey,
$10. Pay $10.
And it's done.
Do you think
all you got to do.
Where's that price rate for you in terms of how expensive mobile games are? Because
it's expensive,
and for a lot of people, they'll play through it in an hour and be like, I spent $10 for an hour. I'm not interested in playing to get all of the coins. Does it communicate well enough, do you think, that that is what this game is in the free version?
I'm not going to profess to understand what the average mobile consumer cares about.
Sure.
I don't even know if I can speak to that.
Right.
I can only look at this game from the perspective of, is it a good Mario game? And I think it totally is. I think if you are someone that enjoys Mario games, and there is a surprising depth to this game that is not apparent if you just play it as sort of a, just the main run through. But in terms of what this means for does the average mobile person get upset that it's $10? I don't know. I just know that it makes me feel good that I can pay $10, get the whole game, and move on with my life.
I'm wondering if people are getting upset at the initial, oh, it's $10, get the whole game, or if they would get more upset if it was spend $1.99 to unlock, with Pokemon Go, I spent probably $50 on that game. And if I could have just spent $10 up front to have
all the stuff,
a bunch of eggs and a bunch of Pokeballs, that would have been sick.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like for me, the question ends up being how many of those free people convert into paying customers? Because is there another level of purchase besides the $10? There is no microtransaction in it, as far as
none.
I know, right? So there are the sorts of people who will play a free game for months and months and every now and then toss a dollar or two into it. Those people, unless they make the $10 purchase, won't give this game money. So I'm really curious to see how it shakes out for them in terms of, staying up on the paid list, the actual income level. So we'll see. I'm happy with it generally though. This is a cool direction for them to be going in. I'm glad there's no virtual keyboard, or virtual joystick. It's clear that they understood what the format of this, of what mobile games is and wanted to address that stuff and actually incorporate it and think about how they could combine the limitations of working on an iPhone with what they think is essential to what Mario is, like to really smart, clever platforming challenges, neat level design, like all that stuff. Yeah. I'm into it.
I haven't bought it yet, but
me either. But like I haven't put two and a half hours into it.
I haven't gotten far enough to buy it.
Maybe we have to put 10 hours into the first three levels and then we'll be like, all right,
I'm going to buy it. Yeah, totally. So like good on them. I'm curious to see what's next. I want to see the Fire Emblem game. I want to see the actual Animal Crossing game.
Yeah.
I hope those are good, because those are series I hold near and dear to my heart in a way that I think a lot of people hold Mario Party. Like, I am...
Wait, what?
Hmm? Yeah.
Sorry, when I say Mario Party, I meant Mario Brothers.
Dan?
I meant Mario Brothers.
Dan Reichert?
That's it. I meant the way Dan Reichert holds Mario Party.
The analogy we all think of when we think of how people...
I just said Mario Party. I guess I have Mario Party on the brain for some reason. I don't know. It's weird.
We'll have to stream it one day.
I did run into, it only happened once, but if it happened to me once, I'm not going to be surprised if this turns into a thing. But obviously you can't play Super Mario Run offline.
Don't talk to me about this. I'm going to be upset.
I was sitting here at this very desk. My router is 10 feet to my right.
Mm-hmm.
I paid good money for a really nice router. I pay...
You have a Nighthawk? Do you have a Nighthawk?
Better Comcast internet. I could not be closer to this router, and yet at some point during the game, it kicked me out saying I had a bad connection and punted me from the level and made me start over.
Pokemon Go flashbacks.
Uh-huh. So here's the thing that happened to me, which was I was playing it on the subway, and I was playing on the W, which in Queens is above ground.
Goes above ground, yeah.
And I was like, awesome, I'm playing it. And I got to Queens Plaza, and I started to go underground. I was like, all right. I gotta time this out. So whenever I was in a subway station is when I wanted to be on a menu screen, because that would have Wi-Fi, or that would have either Wi-Fi or it would have connection. And I would like load into a level and then race to try to get to the end of the level by the time I got back to a subway. And it worked the first few times. And what would happen is I'd finish a level, and if I wasn't quite in the subway station, I could hit retry a few times and like hang there until I was loaded into the subway station. But eventually it kicked me out. And
It caught on. Nintendo caught on.
I think it kept my progress, in which case, rad. Like, I think it was a thing where I'd gotten all five purple coins. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to redo that. And I think it stuck. Like, I remember being really upset that I was going to lose it, and then being not so upset that I didn't actually lose it. So hopefully there's like it has
cash is enough.
Yeah, enough info locally. But I know that they're worried about piracy and worried about cheating and hacking. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious
also,
to see that
stuff. Friend codes. Great. They're still here.
I don't want to talk about that either.
I haven't even figured out that whole part.
Part of that is not Nintendo's fault.
They got
rid of
Game Center, right?
Game Center app, which was the sort of ubiquitous friend system. I don't know why they got... Like, obviously, it was an app that no one opened, but, like, for something like this, it would have been incredibly useful for your friends to just be there.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe they would have done friend codes anyway, because Nintendo likes their own proprietary stuff. But as bugged as people are by friend codes, like, you also have to kind of point the blame at Apple, because they removed the thing that made this easy for developers, I think, with the last operating system update.
Is there a point in adding friends on Super Mario Run?
Toad Rally.
Then you can compete on the Toad Rallies.
Well, steal all your toads.
All right.
Come for your toads. I'm glad that at least you can log in with your Nintendo ID. Does that not let you friend code up easily? I guess there's no unified friend system, right?
Yeah, no. Someone DM'd me and was like, hey, add me on Super Mario Run, and sent me their friend code. I'm like, I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah. It's a mystery. Who knows?
Probably to Nintendo, too.
Speaking of Nintendo, they are – two things happened. One, Patrick, you just ran a story that was about some of the patents that have come out around the Nintendo Switch. What was that? What were those patents? What was, like, the hot scoops from those patents?
Well, there have been a couple questions about the Switch. One, like, does it have a touchscreen? And there are multiple references in the patents to a touch panel. There are some buttons that were unexplained on the device. There are references in the patents to a record button. Cool. They mention it as a still image. So, because from what I was reading, it would be very, like, the way the Xbox One and PS4 work, you know, they're using, like, proper hard drives in order to constantly cache video that you can access and share. The Switch is supposed to use flash memory, which is like really bad for like continuous recording. So it sounds like it's not, you know, you're not going to be sharing 10 minutes of video on the Switch, but you know, you should probably have the option to like record a, you know, or take a photo, and then, you know, share that on Twitter or Facebook or
Record. I hope they find a better word than record, because record sounds like I'm going to take a video.
Well, I don't know if they can do share, and like share is share is the best word. Like Sony kind of locked that up. So like, yeah, maybe there'll be something a little more cutesy from them. But yeah, otherwise it's just kind of interesting to see. Like all, you know, it's just fascinating to look at patents and kind of the breakdowns of how they have to pitch what their thing is. And then combined with that, they announced that it'll be playable for the first time at PAX South, which is in January, at least for the public, which is tied to essentially they're doing a thing in New York, which I'm sure you'll end up going to.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
ready to go.
They're going to do the formal unveiling of the Switch. And then they're basically going on a road tour to show it off, which is smart and a cool way, I think, to demonstrate what is interesting about that device. And yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited for it, because Super Mario Run, which I'm really enjoying, like, but it's not like a new Mario game. Like it
is, but
it's not that 7 seconds of video footage I saw on that Switch trailer, and like that's the game I want. Like I already know what my game of the year 2017 is. Like
Patrick,
get up. We're done.
You don't know
we're
that.
Done.
Patrick, you're
it's
a critic
that game.
You have to have
it's
your
that game.
Be ah God. Be
no,
critical.
Fuck being objective. Those people made Super Mario 3D Land and Super Mario 3D World some of the best 3D platformers of the last decade.
They, like, maybe they got Sega Team to make this new Mario game. You don't know.
No, stop it.
Oh, my
it.
God.
Stop
maybe
it.
That's what's happening.
Stop it.
Super Mario
I'm
Colors.
Out.
Austin's on Austin's on his favorite site, thesaurus.com.
That's true.
To look for alternate
distribute.
Words.
It could
from
be the distribute
share.
Button. It could be the experience button. It could be the participate button. It could be the split button. It could be the apportion button.
Prorate?
The prorate button.
The shift, slice.
The divvy up button.
Oh, I like
maybe
divvy up.
Maybe it's the switch buttons, because
you
switch
it,
from the
mat
to the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a switch.
I like give and take and go 50-50.
I like
those
the cut the pie. It could be the cut the pie button.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Have a hand in? Okay. Cool. Cool. Oh, the other thing that the patents came out with was that you could do 4-player split screen and also 2-player split.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
On screen on the Switch, it looked like, which like that's to me like that was what was suggested by that trailer, and I guess it actually confirmed that that's actually a thing you can do. So that's cool. What have you been playing, Danica?
I've been playing a lot of Borderlands, and I've been going
Thank you. People have been saying, let's talk about Borderlands some more.
Which Borderlands have you been playing?
I've been going back and forth between 2 and pre-sequel.
Okay, so no Borderlands 1 for you.
No.
You
no,
only
no, no,
care
no.
about memes.
I'm it's really bad. Like 2 2 is so bad.
It has its moments, but also it has lots of memes.
There's a lot of memes. I mean, I'm into it. I've been playing with 3 people, so it's like we have a 4-person nice. Party for both games and I don't know, it's fun. I've been playing pre-sequel a lot, and that one's actually really, really, really good.
See, that was the thing. Like, when that came out, I think it was pretty much very quickly dismissed by people, partially because of the air mechanics on the moon.
No, I loved it.
You love suffocating.
I love
the moon.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, there's air like things that shoot up air at you, and when you kill enemies, they drop, you know, O2 canisters, and it's like it's easy enough to stay alive. The people complaining about that were just not good at games.
Damn.
It also wasn't made by Gearbox.
Right.
So
but,
yeah.
it was not seen as a proper sequel.
I guess that's the thing. The thing is that, like, sometimes that happens, and we as, like, a games culture we've gotten to be really good about it. Like, we understand that Call of Duty rotates.
Right.
But
it's like 2K Australia.
Right.
Ah!
But who cares? Like, I like Borderlands. I really do. I would play a Borderlands 3 if it came out tomorrow. Probably. No, I would play it for 3 hours, and then for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to go back to Borderlands 3 for sure.
You go back
I can't wait until I have a day off. I'm going to get my emails and play some Borderlands.
I love it.
I feel like it's
and I'm gonna
fun.
Sleep.
It's fun with friends. Like, if you have friends and, like, all of you
put it on the box.
All of you can sit there and laugh together and cringe at the same shitty you know, bad memes, then it's fun.
It's like an MST3K game of just like, it's written so that you can make fun of it with your butts.
Yeah. And I just like the dynamic of playing Borderlands 2 where Jack is like this super evil being and then going to pre-sequel where he's like still a super kind of, you're like on his, team. Yeah. You're on his team. So it's like, it's interesting.
He's going to fuck you over. I haven't played that game, but that guy's going to fuck you over.
No. Yeah. I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure he's bad.
Yeah.
He calls himself Handsome Jack, right?
Yes.
No one else gave him that name.
No, that's what he calls himself. All right. But you know what? I call myself Handsome Danica, so can't be mad at him for that.
Okay. Bad. Another thing that happened this week, Patrick. Twitch IRL. Twitcherl.
Please call it by its proper name.
Twitcherl. Sorry.
Yeah,
apologies.
Twitcherl.
I'm going to read this over here from Mike Fahey over at a website called Kotaku.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Kotaku.com.
They're new.
They're one of the up and coming. After 5 years of giving people a way to share their gaming with the masses, Twitch expands into the real world today with IRL, a channel dedicated to sharing everyday life experiences with strangers. The long and short is just like...
They're really tapped into 2016 internet to call it IRL.
God what? Damn.
Speaking
dragged. Of yeah. Wow. True, though.
True. I'm being sincere.
They've been doing Twitch creative stuff. Yeah. They've been doing Twitch food and talk shows. And, like, they've done, like, oh, here's a handful of things that you're allowed to do on Twitch that isn't just gaming. Twitch IRL is like, oh, it's YouTube. And the only thing I know about Twitch IRL is that Patrick linked me to a Twitch IRL stream yesterday.
Oh,
and it was someone with eight overlays.
I saw
Christmas gifts. Plus someone singing a holiday song. I think they were singing, or was she just talking while holiday music?
Are you mad?
I'm pretty sure I blacked out as soon as I loaded it.
No, I'm just overwhelmed at how quickly YouTube culture has come to Twitch.
No, I know.
Well, like they've joined in an unholy alliance. Like the overlays are such a Twitch thing.
Yes.
And the like YouTube culture of like, hey guys, like it's the holidays and like the fast cuts in between.
Hey,
like,
hey Twitch, hey Twitcherl, Danica here.
Uh huh. So, like,
Handsome Danica.
Handsome Danica
here.
I'm very interested to see how this goes. I thought this was a strange play for them to make. In that, like, I understand why YouTube wants to do YouTube gaming, wants to do live streaming. Because they have so much VOD stuff already that mm-hmm. building out to, like, making a single platform makes a ton of sense. For me, I would rather Twitch just become a good place to go actually watch the Twitch cutdowns and watch all the stuff that I go to YouTube to watch than to have them try to do live streaming but YouTube. I'm not even 100% sure if that works because of how much the YouTube format is based on rapid cuts, editing, mm-hmm. like all sorts of other stuff, reshoots. Like, so I'm very curious to see how it does.
It also, people may not remember, but before Twitch TV, there was something called Justin TV.
Yep.
And Justin TV was a video service where you could share and, you know, live stream any video. But then they got rid of Justin TV because what took off was Twitch TV because Twitch was focused on games. So essentially, they were just backdooring into Justin TV all over again. I'm curious. I don't want to call it a desperate play, but it feels like them trying to consolidate personalities that are growing beyond the scope of video games and not losing that to YouTube.
Yeah, that's
but also the appeal of Twitch, at least to me, as someone who's pretty casual, like I don't like regularly follow or watch a lot of folks on Twitch. So
you're not a Twitch head.
I'm just loath to like ascribe too much of what Twitch is or should be based on my own habits because I just don't engage with it that much. Twitch was about games, and now it's not about games. It just happened, you know, it is about games, but it isn't. And I just wonder if that decreased focus is going to hurt it in the long run, or if they think that, you know, I think their argument is that we've got these people here because of games. We don't want to lose them because they get interested in people doing things that aren't game related.
And, like, just to play devil's advocate with my own skepticism here, like, It could just be also that they wanted to open up the floodgates a little bit and say like, hey, let's stop saying what you can and can't stream on the service. But to do that, we need to brand it. Like, that's just how companies work.
Yeah.
Like, anytime we change a thing, we need to spin it. We need to have some messaging on it. We need to like control the optics. And so, we'll call it a new thing. We'll see how it does. You know, to their credit, the actual thing Twitch did recently that I'm actually way more interested in is the auto mod feature that they rolled out last week. I was actually hoping that it would roll out while we – or was it on Monday that they – it was on Monday.
Yeah, it was like Monday right before the podcast.
It was right after because I was waiting for the email to come through said it would that it said it had gone live.
So we could try talk it. About it. Or talk about it, yeah.
So auto mod went through, and auto mod is now a feature that lets you do – it basically is like a filter for language and other stuff that just sends it to a mod before it's published. So there's something just like kind of – it's this like purgatory system basically where questionable content, which is probably the name of a different podcast, questionable content gets caught in this sort of like content trap. Mm-hmm. And then your mods can go like, oh, yo, they were trying to say something. It's fine. That one goes through.
It's kind of
this
like
one's bad.
Quality filter, but like for the whole chat.
Yeah. And
which I think is good because it's better than everyone seeing someone say something
terrible,
like a word that you have blocked out and then them getting banned.
Right. So that's the big thing for me is like, oh, it prevents it from being this sort of like flashpoint around the moment of moderation, which can be what the person who's getting moderated wants sometimes, right? Like, a lot of times
Of conversation and the chat doesn't stop.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they want. And so having this sort of system seems really productive. And the other thing is like, it helps people who just don't have huge mod teams. A lot of people who, when they're first starting out, don't have a chat filled with people that they already know. They don't have, you know, 10 of their friends to sit in the moderation, you know, team and like make the chat really good. They don't have a chat culture yet, so it's really easy for a couple of people to really shift things. And so any tool that helps that person is something that's really great. It's been a long time coming, and I think for a long time Twitch has been really bad about addressing this stuff, very much like almost laissez-faire, almost like, hey, the chat's gonna be the chat, you just gotta let them, you know, we have the basic moderation tools.
Don't call too much attention to it, just let it do its thing.
If you try to put handcuffs on it, that's how you're gonna lose the fun chat. And like, I'm glad that they've given people this tool at least.
Very excited to try it out. Even though our chat is extremely good.
Our chat
all
is super good.
We love our chat.
We do. But like, you know, this is one of those things that can prevent raids or whatever from going bad, right? We're like, oh, so
if we're ever on the front page.
Totally. Like, stuff happens. So there's that. There's that. I think it might be time to dip into the bucket.
Yeah, the
gross.
Bucket.
Dip into the bucket.
Oh, gross.
This is the digital bucket, not the IRL bucket. So this is the regular old question bucket.
Not bucket Earl. If you have questions, by the way, for the podcast, you guys can send them to gamingadvice.com the subject line question.
Thank you. You can stop sending us new names for the podcast.
Yeah, we're the podcast is named.
Or keep doing it.
Or keep doing
keep
it.
Keep going.
Great.
Keep
thanks. Going. Thanks, Patrick.
You can always do better.
You're just going to make my entire inbox just this whole room. Give me a number from 1 to 32.
All right. I've got a piece of paper in front of me. Let's find a number on it. Owner, : Patrick, 21.
21.
I don't know what the 21 means. I'm not 21. I know I look like I'm 21, but.
This is a question we've already answered. Not from this person. This is somebody else who asked the same question. So I'm going to delete it.
Do I need another one?
No, the 22 will just become 21 the way science works.
All right. That makes sense.
This is good. This connects to a thing we already had. Jared from Queens, New York. Shout out Queens. Says, love the podcast so far and both of your works very much. Again, this is from a while ago.
Okay.
This person probably loves all of our
works.
So they're talking
about me.
Both of our works.
Yeah.
Both of our works, not me. Very much looking forward to the new site. My question, does it bother you that a generation of kids might be growing up playing new Mario games on a phone without buttons and prefer to play games that way going forward as opposed to traditional controller? Or will kids naturally gravitate towards more complex games and controllers like we did way back when? Will touch be the dominant form of game design in the future? Or will there be enough Minecraft level hits that draw on younger generations of potential gamers? Thanks, Jared. Queens, New York.
So excited for the site.
So excited for the site. But like, damn on point. Just like dead ass on point with the Mario touch thing. Like, we could not have picked a better question today. I think we're going to continue to see a split. I think more people will play touch games. Here's the analogy I'll make. 50 years ago, that's wrong. 20 years ago, not everybody played
100
games.
100 years ago.
100 years ago.
150 years ago.
30 years ago, not everybody played games. 40 years ago, not everybody played games on their tabletop. Not everybody played big wargaming things. Everybody played cards. everybody had a card game that they knew how to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think mobile games might slip into that space of like, oh, this is casual. We all play games in our lives. Maybe you do a crossword. Maybe you play Super Mario Run. Maybe you play bridge with your friend. Maybe you know how to play poker. I think mobile games filter into there where like games are just part of human activity.
Yeah.
And it's there's a very low level of resistance into getting into playing mobile games if you have a phone, if you have a smartphone.
But I feel like most people aren't sitting at home
right
playing mobile games.
No, but most people are like on their way to work playing mobile
yes
games. There's a huge amount of
yes
people, totally. But there are also going to be the people who break out the war gaming, who break out the mm-hmm D&D, who break out, in this case now, like consoles or buy a PC for gaming and make it a personal hobby and not just a thing that they do with their spare time.
Yeah.
Like it goes from pastime to actual. It's a hobby-grade hobby. It's a hobby-grade game, like all of your favorite Gearbox games are hobby-grade.
I can't tell if you're trying
that's
to own
a thing,
me
that's
or
a
not
thing that Mr. Gearbox said once. Randy Pitchford described what's the bad one? What's the one that nobody?
I'm not gonna help you with this. You need to finish
Overwatch, not Overwatch. Mm-hmm. Beards of War. Nope, not that nope one.
Yeah.
Gorgolons. Nope, still not right. What is it?
Okay,
called?
I'll
nope
give you a hint.
Give me the first letter.
I'm gonna give you a clue.
Okay.
We're all born into this world. We're all born into this world.
Overwatch, still not right. Something Battleborn.
No, Gorgle Goggle.
Gorgolon. Thank you.
That's the name of the podcast.
I've already lost the name of the ship. The name of the
Battleborn.
Battleborn. Randy Pitchford said it was a hobby grade game.
All right.
So that's
okay
all. Anyway,
you don't have to own me in your question answering.
I'm trying to own Randy Pitchford for okay saying that fucking Battleborn was going to be a hobby grade video game. It is
also
not.
What does that mean?
It means that it's like Dota is what he means. It means it's like a LOL where it's like, oh, we're all going a LOL, a League of Legends. We're all it's like the thing you do.
Oh, no,
is just
no,
that.
I thought you meant it was like a LOLs.
Yeah, it was like a LOLs also though.
One thing I would say is you know, we're doing some Game of the Year stuff and I found myself writing about Doom. And it makes me think about this question in a way where the new Doom is yes, it's a shooter, but it's significantly different than the Doom that came out in 1994. But if you break Doom down to his essence, it's a game about speed, right? Like it's a game about fast combat, and Mario is a game about jumping.
Yeah.
And the important part about Mario is not that you jump with a button; it's that jumping feels good. And so, like, what I think
sure
Mario Run is successful at is maintaining that core essence of what Mario is. Like how that manifests itself, the way you actually engage with the action is not as important as the feeling of what defines that game. So like for Doom, for me, it's like fast combat. For Mario, it's jumping. And jumping feels good in Super Mario Run. So like the fact that kids may end up playing more of Mario on a mobile device than they'll ever go and play the Switch version. Like that doesn't bother me.
They're still getting the thing.
Yeah, you're getting the thing that makes Mario incredible, which is like the feeling of jumping is just pleasurable, and they nailed that. So that's really the only thing that matters. That like if a large group of people understand the joy of what I get out of playing different types of Mario games, but getting that through a touchscreen, like that's what excites me. Not the fact that they didn't get it through pressing an A button.
Right. Yeah, I'm totally with you. And the other thing is, I think as mobile gaming continues to be a huge thing, we'll continue to see people doing really interesting, dynamic, and dense game design on those platforms. Like, it's not like there aren't, quote-unquote, big, real games on mobile or on tablets. Like, tons of games exist that have a ton of interesting mechanics and that use touch in different ways and that, in fact, are the sorts of experiences that right now couldn't exist on a traditional controller-based platform, right? Or even a keyboard and mouse-based platform. I think about some of the stuff that you think about something like The Room, which is the one with like the box that you're undoing
yeah
stuff.
Those games are great.
Those games came to PC, but like you don't have that tactile sensation. And like that's not less of a game because it was on an iPad, you know? So I don't have any – I guess what I'm saying is I don't have any animus for the ascent of touch. I don't have any like – I'm not upset that people aren't playing with controllers. Like I'm excited that more people are playing digital games.
In general yeah
and are having their eyes open to all sorts of new things. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one time I played the Avatar movie game on my old phone, iPhone.
Cool story. That's good.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was clunky.
No, we're gonna have this conversation. Tell me about it. Tell me everything you remember about the Avatar movie game on your iPhone.
I just remembered you played as like the main
Jake
character,
Jake?
As an avatar.
Is his name Jake? I just threw that out.
Jake Avatar.
Is his name Jake?
And you just like
Jake Sully, Jake Scully,
Jake Sully,
Jake
Sully. Is that
right?
I think it is because
like
she says
that I knew that.
Jake Sully, it's Jake Sully, because
like
she's all like,
that.
"Oh, Jake Sully,
take it out.
Look at your
take
hair.
It out
you're
of my
a,
fucking brain.
A little
I don't
human.
Want to know the main character from Avatar."
Yeah, so I played that. I played that for like a good week or so. It was like $15 or something, but I got an iTunes.
You spent $15.
I got an iTunes gift card, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna play this game
you
because
that
I
money
liked the movie."
On anything that's on iTunes.
This was a while ago. This was right when the movie came out.
So you're like 12. Like what's the
whenever the movie came out.
Oh, you were 12.
I don't remember.
1985.
I wasn't 12. That movie came out. Did iPhones even exist 15 years ago?
No.
Okay. Exactly. Anyway.
Wow.
Anyway, owned. That's just a game I played. That's all. Next question. Can I pick a number?
No. We have 3 minutes left. I have to do my outro now because somebody had to talk about the fucking Avatar phone game.
Don't blame me.
I was saying, if you bring it up, we're going to do a deep dive into it.
Okay.
Coming to the next 72-hour stream,
oral
Knack
history
and the
history of Avatar the mobile game.
Don't joke about some shit. I can't deal with oral histories
we're gonna
right
see,
now.
We're going to see a pitch in the inbox.
Uh-huh. I bet that's a really interesting oral history. Yeah, I want to look
of
at this.
Avatar the mobile game?
Avatar the
right
mobile
now.
Game. What's it look like? What type of game was it? Was it like a runner?
No, it was like
a couple of it's got some big ass virtual
things.
Joystick buttons.
Oh, good.
You can fly kind of like Panzer Dragoon, which that means it's probably a good game.
That means it's a good game.
You can fight. You can punch things.
Yeah.
I'll put this on make sure you put this in the description that we talked about. In fact, can the episode title just be episode 23?
Avatar the mobile game.
I had a good time with that game.
I believe. Look at that cool horse.
Hey, I interviewed James Cameron. That was pretty cool.
Did you?
I did.
About Avatar?
Yeah, this is a very quick story.
Tell me that story while I was doing some magic.
I was at G4 before they were Esquire, and Avatar came out in December, and James Cameron was coming through. G4 was offered an interview with him, and all the real talent had gone home on vacation. There was no Adam Sessler. There was no Morgan Webb. There was no Kevin Pereira. There was no Olivia Munn.
There was just a Patrick Klepek.
They went down like the stable of people that they would actually want to do the interview, and the only person who had really proven themselves to do stuff on TV before I'd done a couple of segments was me, and they were like, they were very explicit. They're like, "You shouldn't be doing this, but we don't have anyone else who won't just fall over in front of a camera. Do you want to interview James Cameron? He will either be here for 5 minutes or an hour. We don't know which. So prepare for both."
Great.
So I did, and he was there for 10 minutes, and he was very nice. And we had a good conversation. He was very kind. I didn't care for that movie, but he was
no,
nice
that
man.
Movie didn't do it for you? That wasn't the one?
No, it was bad. Although, I will say my favorite part of it was I asked him about the influence of aliens on video games, and his response was just utter fucking disdain. His response was basically like, "Stop ripping off my movie, go do something original." And I was like, "Yeah, that's fair.
That's amazing."
Fair. Yeah.
I'm trying to bring up the trailer for chat,
something.
And it's not going to happen. I'm just
trying to bring up the trailer for Avatar the mobile game.
Yeah, I'm trying to, but it's not. You know, I'm gonna figure out how to do it. But first, I'm gonna say goodbye to everybody. Thank you, Patrick. Where can people find you on the internet?
Completely
blank.
I wasn't paying attention.
You were thinking about Avatar.
Thinking about Avatar.
I was thinking about Jake Scully.
God.
You find me at Patrick Klepek on Twitter and Pete Klepek on Facebook.
That's good. How about you, Danica?
Also, the new Star Wars movie is pretty good. Go see it.
I want to go see that movie.
Yeah, go see Rogue One.
It's good.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's good.
You can find me on Twitter at, and like anywhere else on social media, at Danica Herod.
Awesome. You find me at Austin_Walker on Twitter, Austin Walker Games on Facebook. Where can you find Waypoint stuff?
You can find Waypoint, twitter.com/Waypoint, facebook.com/Waypoint Vice, Instagram, Waypoint Vice, YouTube, Waypoint Vice, Waypoint.zone, Bazinga.zone, Waypoint.vice.com.
Where can people download Avatar the mobile game?
Probably the iTunes store, right?
I would hope. I'm never going to live this down. I'm so sad.
Oh, shit.
No.
I started playing it. It's not what I want to do. It's happening. I have to go. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I love you all.
Bye.
Bowen, waypoint.zone/BOEN. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Peace.